Through the written and spoken word, may we come to know the living word. Amen. The second reading today started by saying, for this reason, and it kept on talking. And it begs the question, what is Paul talking about here to the people of Ephesus? And I wanted to explain a little bit the purpose of this letter. Some people doubt it was Paul, but that's not much of an importance to us. What is the main theme of this letter? The main theme is God's plan to reconcile the Jews and the Gentiles, those who were in and those who were out. This author of this letter has a vision of a world that is reconciled, a world that is not only the reconciliation of all peoples, but rather the reconciliation of the whole cosmic order. It is a grand scheme of unity, of breaking down the walls that separate us. If you remember last week, the reading said precisely that. I'll read it again. In Christ Jesus is our peace. In his flesh, in Christ's body, he has made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, which is a symbol of any division, into one. He has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two. That is a grand and beautiful project. To break down the walls that separate us. To break down anything that has this essential between you and me. And not only between us as humans, symbolized Jews and Gentiles, you can follow that through. What today is separating us? That's another sermon. You know what I'm talking about. But beyond that, it is even the reconciliation of the whole humanity with God, God's self. One of the most beautiful poems I have known when I was young, I loved John of the Cross. And he has, one of his poems is called Living Flame of Love, preferred in Spanish. Llama de amor viva. It's much beautiful. Sorry about that, English. Doesn't quite get there. Living Flame of Love. And John of the Cross had that experience of unity. He just longed to be united with God. And he wrote in this poem, O living flame of love, that tenderly wounds my soul in the deepest center. Since now you are not oppressive, now consummate. If it be your will, tear through this veil of this sweet encounter. It is one who is just longing to be united with God. He's just longing, and he knows that there is a separation. He says, I've done everything I can, but now it's yours. Please consummate. It's like a bride wishing to be consummated in her marriage. She wants this soul to be just break down this veil, open up this curtain that I still feel separated by you. Come on, God. Take me. And that is what John of the Cross felt so deeply in his life. And that is what I think is expressed in today's reading, which really deeply moved. And I saw Lori was also moved when you were reading it. I felt it in your voice. Listen again what Paul is saying. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And the word dwell there is make home. The word is the same in Greek, it's the same word that is used for house, oikos, the house. It says, I pray that God lives, makes home, has a house in you, in your hearts, through faith. As you're being rooted and grounded. I love that image. Rooted and grounded. It's like a tree. This is Paul saying, I want you to, plant yourself. Sink deep into the soil of this love of Christ. I want you to really be like a tree that has deep roots grounded into this love which is Christ. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend, to grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, there's so many levels of these two small little verses. The power to comprehend the breadth and the width and the length and the depth. One of the fathers of the church was saying, what in the world is he talking about? He's like four dimensions here. And one of the fathers of the church, imagine there was like this sphere, huge sphere that cannot contain. It's like the universe. It's like this, it goes beyond our comprehension. It says, I want you to experience this love of God that, I mean, there's no way to comprehend it. No way to grasp it. Because it is that which surpasses any knowledge. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, rooted and grounded. It's interesting that Paul says, this goes beyond our knowledge. And I want to invite you, here in church, many times we focus so much on the sermon, and I dedicate a long time to say the words I say, but sometimes that is a little bit of a danger, because the sermon and the words sometimes stay up here in our brains. And in the church, we have in our rituals, we have two things. We talk, and I talk a lot, and then we're going to go over here. Today I would like to point that way. To what we do after, which doesn't have much word. What we're going to do is the symbol of sharing a piece of bread, a little bit of wine. In our tradition, we believe that somehow, we're not, like in the Roman Catholic, they define how it happens. We, Anglicans, we shy away from explaining how it happens, but we only say that in that bread and in that wine, which is bread and wine, it is also the real presence of Christ. Some of you receive Richard Rohr's meditation, and this week, how many of you receive Richard Rohr's? Right? This week, did you notice what was the theme? It was the Eucharist. And Richard Rohr was talking, emphasizing the real presence, that what we receive there, this bread and this wine, has the real presence of Christ. Some people I've shared this, and some people balk, and some after church told me, I don't believe that. Yeah, I don't believe it either in the sense of the literal sense. My dad, when he was instructed to receive communion, he thought it was like real, and he was afraid of biting into it because he thought blood would start spilling out of his mouth. He thought it like real crude literalist as a little kid. But I want to challenge you to truly believe it is bread, it is wine, and it is also the body and blood of Christ. Richard Rohr, meditating on this real presence, wrote the following. This is not a magical idea, but it's simply the mystery of incarnation taking to its logical conclusion. If you truly believe that God has become a human being in this person, Christ, then it is not only Christ the person, but each atom and molecule of the whole creation has been touched by the one who became incarnate. Richard Rohr said, it's just logical. If we truly believe that Christ became human, then each atom of the world has been touched and transformed by God. Richard Rohr continues saying, creation itself, uniquely to Jesus' body, to the human body of Christ that we all are, and then to the very elements from the earth and human hands have made, like bread and wine, to serve as food for the journey. Why believe the universal presence is real if it's not also real in one concrete, ordinary spot? We spent much of our history arguing about the high and the if and who could do what. Catholics call the transubstantiation, but the bread and the wine, instead of simply learning how to be present. We made the Eucharist into a magic act to be believed instead of a personal transformation to be experienced. We change the bread more than the people. We change the bread more than the people, it seems to me. We emphasize the priest as the transformer instead of the people as the transformed. We made real presence into a doctrine, which is very good meaning, but we seldom taught people how to be really present, which is contemplation. When you are really present, then you will experience the real presence for yourself. And I think that is what Paul was trying to get. Grasp it. And it's a specific point there. The bread and the wine becomes the body of Christ. It's localized. But the real idea is, can you see, can you discover Christ's presence there? In that little piece of bread and that little bit of wine? But then don't stay stuck there. Richard Rohr says, in the Eucharist, we slowly learn how to surrender to the presence. In one place, in one thing, in one focused moment, the priest holds up the host and says, see it here, believe it here, get it here, trust it here. But many Christians say they believe in the presence in the Eucharist, but they don't get that it is everywhere, which is the whole point. So what he's saying, he says, test it, discover it here, but don't keep stuck there. Once you really open your eyes and your heart to the real presence of Christ that comes to you, that dwells in you, then open up your eyes to discover it. That is, it's here, and it's right here, and it's right here, and it's over here, and then it's out there, and it's in everywhere. And the Eucharist becomes the world, the universe. Daniel Ladinsky, inspired by writings of Meister Eckhart, wrote this beautiful poem, which touches this idea, Paul, Eucharist. He wrote, I could not bear to touch God with my own hand. When he came within my reach, but he wanted me to hold him. How God solved my blessed agony, who can understand? He turned my body into his. He turned my body into his. I believe that is why I come to church. I mean, we talk, but when I sit and kneel on the communion rail, receive this little bread and wine, what I'm saying is, transform me. I believe it was transformed, that bread and that wine became the body and blood of Christ, but it doesn't stop there. When I receive it, I am being transformed into the body and blood of Christ. My brother and my sister that are kneeling beside me, they are being transformed. This whole congregation is being transformed. And as we go out into the world, we're invited to open our eyes and to discover the world, creation, from the little tiny bit of blade of grass to the largest galaxy. Everything is being transformed into the body of Christ. That is why I think Paul was praying the power to grasp love's width, length, height, and depth. And the goal of it all, Paul describes it this way, the goal of it all is that we may be filled with the fullness of God. That we may be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that a beautiful image? To be just filled with this fullness of God. The consequences of really experiencing the love that surpasses our knowledge doesn't only have this mystical, kind of private, individualistic understanding. Truly, if we are transformed, the world is transformed. We would like to end with another poem by Ladinsky, inspired by this time by the writings of John of the Cross. And he wrote this, you might quiet the whole world for a second if you pray. And if you love, if you really love, our guns will wilt. Truly, to experience the love of God in Christ has social, political, economical, radical transformation of our world and of ourselves. So I invite you, brothers, sisters, as you come forward, as you receive the bread and the wine, May we live out what Paul was inviting us, that we truly dwell in Christ and Christ in us, that we may be transformed and to understand this power of love, its width, its length, its height, and its depth, so that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Amen.